friends. Welcome to Wrestle Buddies, GameSpot's wrestling podcast, both wrestling friendship and wrestling with friendship. I am your fabulous, wonderful, I'm beautiful, I'm a host, I'm Matt Elfring, and with me, as always, is my wonderful, beautiful, always a co-host, Chris E. Hayner. How are you, Chris?
Join the Dark Order, Matt. JoinDarkOrder.com.
We might have to do that again. Hold on.
But I liked it so much.
Oh, no. Oh, that's... Okay, it's just the hay. We're good. We're good.
Hey!
I'll do it again. Ready? I'll cut this in the beginning. Hey!
Oh, that sounds terrible. Don't do that. Just use the redlined one. Who cares?
All right, we're using the redlined one. I'll have to cut out me swearing.
Join the Dark Order, Matt. JoinDarkOrder.com. You sound like a morning zoo radio host for some reason.
All right, guys, you got a great lineup of songs coming your way. But first, we're going to play the game Who Farted in the Men's Bathroom? We got Tina on the line. Tina?
It was me.
We got Carlo from Naperville. Did you fart in the men's bathroom?
No, it was Tina. Were you not listening? Tina. Tina just admitted to it, you freak.
My audio is so loud, I need to turn it down just a little. We're just going to turn it down a little. Oh,
Matt, what a week. Matt, we're flying high today. We're doing good, man.
My two favorite wrestle people
returned to wrestling. Chris Hayner.
And
Stone Cold
the original Doink the Clown.
Matt Bourne?
I think he's dead, actually.
Oh. That's okay. Well, that's not okay. I should not say that. What's exciting is I will soon be getting an ultimate Doink the Clown original recipe action figure.
Which I'm get extra excited. Crispy?
No. No, I did not. Well, this thing does have three interchangeable heads, and on one of them, the hair does look a little extra crispy. So...
Okay. All right.
That kind of counts.
Yeah.
But I'm good, Matt. I'm great. It is currently a Tuesday morning. It's been pardon my foul language here. A heck of a week of pro wrestling. Things have been crazy go bananas. And we're back with another episode of Wrestle Buddies coming off of big stuff. There was a huge AEW debut. Someone named Daniel Garcia. There was a massive pay-per-view over the weekend. Impact Wrestling's Emergence. Mm-hmm. And honestly, could new champions were crowned. Thankfully, not Reginald's 24/7 championship. He still has it. He's still a fighting champion. Living his life. But I'm doing good. How are you doing, my friend?
I am on a high from the return of CM Punk.
Who?
And Chick Magnet Punk.
Oh,
and
Chicago made. Just like
Chicago
you.
Chicago made.
Are you CM Elfring?
Well, I was made in a little town called Hanover Park.
So HP May. HP Elfring. HPM Elfring.
I mean, my dad would be CM Dad, Chicago Made Dad.
What's your, I was going to ask you what your dad's name is, but like.
Oh, and my mom is Canada Made, so she'd be CM Mom.
Oh, man, my mom is SM Made, Stockton.
Yeah, California Made. CM Mom.
Oh, my God, I'm CM Hayner.
You are California Made.
Oh, my God. All
right. Wow.
I'm going to need $700 more dollars to finish this podcast episode because now I'm a celebrity and I command celebrity rates.
Wait, and I'm Chicagoland made.
CLM Punk?
No, Chicagoland's one word, so CM Punk. No, CM Matt.
No, it has. No, but we have to we have to differentiate between Chicago and Chicagoland. So we got to
Chicagoland.
Yeah, so we got to go CLM. The L is lowercase, though.
Oh, yeah. So we're a bunch of CMs.
Cast members.
Anyway,
we work for the Walt Disney Company.
Also, Becky Lynch came back. And I think we she's I am Lynch, Ireland made Lynch. What a dumb bit.
Becky.
I think it's important for us, the Wrestle Buddies, to talk about how these two people came back into our lives and how they were booked. Spoiler alert. Not great.
Spoilers for
issues with both
last week's episode of AEW. That's All Elite Wrestling
Rampage.
It's French. And this weekend's Saturday's Summerfest.
Slamming into summer with a summer slam.
No. As Jeremy Piven once taught us all on an episode of WWE Raw, it's called Summerfest.
Yes, Summerfest. Is it? I believe that's actually
that's a music festival in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like a Milwaukee.
Month-long,
I think
it's a month long Milwaukee music festival, Summerfest. Yeah, it was big doings on both Rampage and SummerSlam, and we should probably talk about it.
Let's get right to it.
Chris, on August 20th at the United Center in Chicago, which is actually a very big venue.
It's a pretty big, I mean, it's a big, it's an arena.
It's a big, it's where the Chicago Bulls play.
Oh, Michael Jordan.
Tony Kukoc.
Scottie Pippen.
Thank you. Dennis Rodman.
No, I need that one.
Oh, okay.
Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, he was not. No, say Dennis Miller. Say Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, babe.
George Carlin.
Bill Cartwright.
The Smashing Pumpkins probably at some point.
I did sit a couple rows behind Billy Corgan at a Bulls game once.
Ooh. The Worm. WCW star Dennis Rodzilla Rodman.
BJ Armstrong.
BJ Novak from The Office.
Those guys are on the Bulls. BJ Armstrong.
Matt, I don't care. I don't know the Bulls.
Coach Phil Jackson.
Oh, Scottie Pippen again. He was there for another season. He was there for multiple seasons, so I said it more than once.
I believe I already said Tony Kukoc, but I want to say it again.
Ooh. Wrigley Field.
Okay, we're done with this bit.
Wrigley Field is Chicago.
It's the north side of Chicago. It's Lakeview.
It's Chicago the same way that where New York teams play sports is New York.
Well, no, Chicago teams, they all actually play in Chicago proper, which is crazy.
Oh. But not wrestlers. They perform in like Aurora Hills or whatever. What is it?
Aurora Hills is not a place, but They it's primarily in Rosemont at the
Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah, Rosemont. I was trying to think of the new name of it.
The when Now I say new, it's, Arena.
It's no, called that's
the Now. Oh, that Sears Center is now that's the Sears Now Center. Arena.
That's Arlington Heights.
Yeah,
I think it's Allstate Arena, right? Anyway,
great talk. Wrestling is super cool. The United Center is it is the biggest venue AEW has ever played to.
The WWE doesn't even go to United Center, which is kind of crazy to me because it's Chicago proper, but they sold it out. I mean, we're talking about the worst kept secret in wrestling at this point. We're talking about CM Punk's debut. Luckily, Rampage had the smarts to open the show with just Cult of Personality playing by Living Color. And.
I have so many thoughts.
Go right ahead.
We all know what happened. Punk, the music.
You
Punk,
all watched.
Punk came out. He delivered. He stood and like embraced the adulation for a while, and then he spoke for about 10 minutes, and ultimately challenged Darby Allin to a match at All Out, which will be happening at the definitely smaller Now Arena on September 5th, I believe.
September 5th, yes.
Okay. It was exciting. The crowd was amazing. The crowd, as with all of the best wrestling moments, the crowd made it.
Yeah.
Like that
dude,
was
that one guy crying.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful.
He's
I loved
all of
it.
Us. I saw reaction to people mocking him online. I didn't see people mocking him online, but like, I'm like, that's, he is all of us.
We've all been super duper teary eyed. Like Chicago made Punk is, he's a dude that helped me get back into wrestling. Like I started watching again, like completely full time every week during the summer of Punk. It's like he's someone that really like grabbed me back into WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So like, of course I'm gonna like love the guy. Like, and then I went back and started watching like Straight Edge Society, and I'm like, oh my god, like the stuff this guy has been doing for years is what I need from wrestling.
Right.
His attitude, I'm not the biggest fan of, but that's a whole different thing.
I don't have any problems with his attitude, if I'm being honest. But what I did not enjoy so much is that he did the standard, I'm no longer in WWE, so I'm just going to trash WWE promo. He did it while wearing a t-shirt that was essentially a recreation of his very popular WWE t-shirt. Mm-hmm. He did it while the video walls were blasting video that was essentially a recreation of his WWE video packages. He did it like they even edited Cult of Personality to resemble the way it was presented in WWE. And it speaks to a larger issue I have with the way a lot of these people are presented after they leave WWE, or the way they, I guess the way they present themselves, since it seems like in AEW you have, and honestly to an extent, way more of an extent in the past, not so much now, the way Impact presents former WWE superstars. It is definitely more prevalent in AEW right now, is you come out and your first words are trashing your previous employer. Miro did it. Punk did it. Like, you could just go through the list. None of these people, and I will say this across the board, none of these people would be in AEW right now if not for the platform that they were given by WWE. Did WWE use them all perfectly? God, no. WWE dropped the ball with Rusev / Miro so many times it was laughable. I'm glad he was able to ply his trade elsewhere, but look, the last year and a half has been so depressing, just across the board. Do we need to continue to wallow in the negativity? Punk came out, he said amazing things about the fans. He really did. And how much it meant to him to get that reaction. Like, that's the part I loved. I'm back. You remember, we're going to do this together. We're going for Darby Allin. It's going to be great. This is so exciting. What I didn't like was when he starts talking about like that, like a place I despise, the place that made me sick. Like, we get it. Everyone knows your story. You gain and the show gains nothing by focusing a portion of your promo on WWE. And it's the thing about AEW as a whole that I dislike the most. It is so much of, not necessarily the storylines, but what the wrestlers say, is especially the former WWE wrestlers, because in a second I'm going to talk about how Chris Jericho fits into this, is so disturbingly focused on tearing down the competitor. WWE never meant, like, almost never references AEW. Do you know who looks like the more professional, higher level, elite level company in when that's the case? I'll tell you what, it's not the one with sour grapes.
It's WWE until you start watching Raw.
I took a cheap shot. Matt, we will get to my criticism of WWE shortly, because oh my god, I have a lot to say about their current product and what happened at SummerSlam. But, and this is another thing with Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho used to be like my favorite wrestler of all time. Like,
same here.
I can't even follow him on Twitter anymore because it's just sour grapes. And it's sour grapes under the guise of like, no, man, it's because we're cool and edgy and revolutionary. If you don't like it, you're part of the problem. No, you're just like, if I have to see one more interview where Chris Jericho complain, like, we beat them and devastated them in the Wednesday Night War and we utterly destroyed their lives, I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, NXT still on the air.
Yeah.
Also, and I've said this, I've literally written this story. You are touting yourself over a very small rating.
Like, smaller than every CW show on any night.
I love AEW.
Yeah, same.
And I'll say this, Lord Pumpernickel has recently fallen down an AEW rabbit hole. So we've been talking about it quite a bit. And it's awesome because they have a lot of the same issues with WWE that you and I have, that like it's a lot of it's not great. I will argue that SmackDown, I think, is firing on all cylinders right now. Same. But I also think it's the only WWE show firing on all cylinders right now. I think there's big problems across the board beyond that. AEW has some of the best wrestlers, has some of the best matches, has some really awesome storylines, and has a lot of cool stuff going on. The Good Brothers notwithstanding. But this continued focus on we're better than WWE. If you're better than WWE, you just have to show it. You don't have to say it. If you're better than WWE, the people will take notice. And your ratings will go up. Ratings this past Friday with the debut of Punk on Rampage shot up. Yeah, they were huge. They were big. What's going to happen this Friday? What's going to happen the Friday after that? What's going to happen the Friday after that? Meanwhile, all the reports are Daniel Bryan's probably coming next. Adam Cole may be coming. Like, okay, you're better than WWE. So why are you building everything on a foundation of WWE? There's so like, and we've talked about this before too, Matt. There is so much talent on the AEW roster that is incredible. And I'll go so far as to say, like, if done properly, AEW's women's roster could easily rival WWE's.
Again, if done properly, that's the issue.
If done properly. You have, in the past year, AEW has built up incredible potential title contenders that have more or less just kind of
fizzled away
in the background.
Orange Cassidy?
Orange Cassidy. Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy fought Kenny Omega for the title, lost and went away. And now he's just back tag teaming with Luchasaurus. I love the Jungle Express or same the here. Jurassic Express. Don't get me wrong. But like the crowd that was behind him, like it was there are so many moments in AEW that feel like a sea change where something big is happening. And then it kind of stops. Hangman, I believe Hangman is taking time off, I believe, if I remember correctly, because he's about to have his first child. Totally understandable. Yeah. But like that we then shifted away from that or Darby or Orange or Jungle Boy
into, or to a Dark Order
or anything into Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage. That's not interesting to me. And I love Christian, but like if you look at the history of AEW champions, it's Jericho, Moxley, Kenny Omega. So two of the three champions are guys who hit their heights in WWE.
Yeah.
Do something else. Do something new. Something new and exciting. I'm sorry.
Well, Chris, my thoughts on Punk, which we've gotten so far from, again, super happy to see him on television. Super. I can't wait to see him wrestle again. Like you, I'm not happy with the constant WWE bashing. And it is mainly because we've already heard the story. We've listened to the Colt Cabana podcast. And then we found out that him and Colt Cabana hate each other now. Or I don't know.
What's
don't
that like that. Backstage?
That's what I'm so curious about that. And I think he'll have a fine role there. But I really don't want Punk in constant title contention with other WWE former WWE superstars. As much as I'm not a fan of Darby Allin, I love the fact that that's his first kind of thing coming back into the company, you know, helping Darby Allin become a bigger star, even though again there's that whole problematic stuff with Darby Allin.
I find it weird that that's just sort of being ignored, but whatever. Like, I also don't understand the continued, like, why is Darby Allin just Sting's son now?
I don't get it. I hate it. I don't know why Sting's there.
Like, Darby was so cool. He had his whole thing was like, he rides a skateboard to the ring. He does the coffin drop. He's just Sting Jr. now. I don't know. I don't get it.
Remember when it snowed outside? It snowed inside when Sting was around all the time?
Oh, you mean when winter was coming because they're in the Warner Media family so they could just use Game of Thrones nonsense?
Yeah. But like you said, Chris, there's such a large talent pool there that is not utilized at all whatsoever. But again, I love that Rampage is 1 hour and I can watch it. And then also it comes on after SmackDown. Thank you for not counter-programming.
But now that's another 3 hour wrestling night if you watch it all.
Yeah, it is. That's the only night that I actually like. I'm super invested now is Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah. I catch clips of Dynamite. I watched all of Raw last night, and let me tell you, I definitely walked away from my TV at a certain point.
Sounds like
and then came back for the main event, only to find out that the main event was an RK-Bro title match.
And I was why is that the main story? That is such
I hate Raw right now so much.
Anyway, let's cut to the SummerSlam. Sasha Banks could not compete against Bianca Belair, and Chris and I jokingly speculated that's because she had to go film episodes of The Mandalorian for Disney Plus.
That's probably not it, but who knows? It could be anything.
I mean, that's very plausible. We'll put it that way. They are filming the show.
It could be The Mandalorian. It could, like, look, dude, maybe she's the next, I'm trying to think of a Marvel superhero she could
be. Maybe she's hosting a new Netflix competition series. Who's the boss?
That would be, oh my god, it's like The Apprentice, but it's called Who's the Boss, and it's hosted by Sasha Banks, and the winner gets to work for WWE somehow.
WWE, send a check to Chris and I for this idea.
Oh my god. Also, like, clearly this would have to become a Peacock original and not a Netflix original,
and also we would need Tony Danza to also be one of the co-hosts.
And somehow Mona would be the winner because we all know Mona is the boss.
Mona was the boss.
Yeah. That, for all of you young types, is a reference to a 1980s television situation comedy. Who is the boss? Starring Dreamboat Alyssa Milano.
Well, she was like a little girl back then, so I don't think you can really call her a dreamboat.
She was my age back then.
Because we are the same age. Yeah.
As when I was a kid, I had such a crush on Alyssa Milano.
I mean, we all did.
Yeah.
So they were going to put Bianca Belair versus Carmella, which they had the night before on SmackDown. But then Becky Lynch's music plays, and again, teary-eyed and so super duper excited. Because I was thinking, like, oh man, are they going to have like Carmella and Zelina Vega team up against like Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair? Like, that would be perfect.
That would have been wonderful. That would have been great. That would have been the thing to do.
Instead, they had a match between Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, and Lynch won it in like a second.
27 seconds, Matt.
Oh, no, it was one shot, then a pin.
I know, but like from bell to bell, it was bell 27 bell. Seconds.
It made Belair look weak after building her up for months.
Bianca Belair, who may very well be the strongest woman in WWE.
Yes.
It made her look bad.
And effectively, does that turn Becky Lynch heel? Like, I don't know how to gauge it.
All the reports are that this means Becky Lynch is a heel now, but like she celebrated like a babyface after the fact.
She just
did a cheap shot. And then she hit a move, which the announcers kept calling like the manhandle slam or something like that.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
As if it's a thing we all collectively know. And it's kind of, it's almost like a rock bottom. It's like a sit out rock bottom almost.
Yeah, I mean, she did a pump handle slam, I believe, when like back in the day.
She also did but her thing was always the disarm her.
The disarm her, and then she did a suplex too. Those were her two main.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's very strange. I didn't like it. I thought it was a bad move on WWE's part, and also just a bad look on WWE's part. That, like, as Matt, we discussed privately among ourselves, to replace one black performer with a white performer and then have that white performer decimate the other black performer in the match, those are not good optics.
No.
I don't care if it's Becky Lynch. And also, it just casts a pall over what should have been amazing. We've been awaiting the... Matt, I would argue Nobody has been waiting for the return of Becky Lynch more on this planet than you.
Yes.
Self-proclaimed, dominant Becky Lynch Omega fan.
Yes. And that was, and that's even pre the man stuff too.
Yeah, which is you've been the biggest Becky Lynch fan since like NXT. You just love it.
I want to point out I became a Becky Lynch fan after the Irish Jig stuff. I didn't like that stuff. I kind of got super into her after that Irish Jig stuff went away.
But you love
it was like the, after her you, third match or something.
But you love the puns.
Mm-hmm. And it's listen. If WWE would have booked this match as Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair and had them go toe to toe and actually have a fight, and I wouldn't accept Lynch as the winner, to be honest, at this point in time.
No.
But have it go no contest or interference from somebody else, which leads to another storyline. There are so many different ways you could have taken this. And what they did was they went the worst way possible with it. I'm not a booker. I don't understand anything that goes backstage. I do understand what makes for good television because I'm a person who watches television.
Are you?
And what I can say is they did the worst thing possible.
Hello? Do you want to learn my opinions of this as well? Chris Hayner, I have invaded. What? I have invaded. I would like to give my opinions on wrestling.
It's the SmackDown hacker.
Oh, I have. I'm back. It's been. I've heard you've been requesting me for months and months. Oh, my phone. My doorbell is ringing. Hold on. Sorry, I had to jump away because I had packages at the door. I figured you've been talking on the show that you really want me back for so long, and
I don't know that I wanted you back. I was just a lot of me was you used to show up uninvited, mind you, to essentially use this as a platform to spotlight yourself and your, I guess, I don't even know, like your sponsorships. And then disappeared off the face of the planet.
Oh, well, I was sent here to come on the show to promote my resume and try my CVs and to try to get a job. I was sent here by Monster.com.
What?
They said.
So now, are you now sponsored by Monster.com?
Not at all. I don't even know if that's a site anymore in 2021.
I mean, maybe LinkedIn? Are you working with the people at LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn. I like to like people's stories about what they're doing at work and congratulating them on their anniversaries at work.
Good stuff, good stuff. So, like, how have you been?
I've been great. My Applejacks deal fell through.
Oh, no, why?
It didn't work out. They said some of the things I was saying was offensive, a little offensive.
You know.
I didn't mean it as offensive. I just meant like I would hit somebody in the face with the truck for Applejacks. And I meant that. Oh, I mean, look at the Klondike bar. The Klondike bar commercials are like, what would you do for a Klondike bar? And people would say outlandish things when they should have said I would get in the car and go to a store and pay MSRP for it. Mm-hmm. Unless it's on sale. But I figured, why not? I can do that. And I know it was derivatives, but like I can do that, but for Applejacks. And apparently,
you're not wrong.
Applejacks did not like that, and I was let go from my contract.
I'm sorry, man.
So hey, you know what happens.
Okay, well, what brings you by today?
I'm a wrestling journalist now.
Where Matt went. Wait, what?
I'm a wrestling journalist now.
You're a Do you have a dirt sheet?
Oh yeah. It's called thesesheetsaredirty.org.
Now, for the uninitiated, we'll say. The SmackDown Hacker, as you are formerly known, I believe that is what is written on your driver's license.
That is my government name is SmackDown Hacker.
Government name. He was like you all may remember, over a year ago now, when a computer hacker tried taking control of SmackDown. It was eventually revealed to be Mustafa Ali.
It wasn't him.
No, let me finish. Who then went on to lead Retribution in one of the absolute worst stable runs of all time. Mm-hmm. Now he's teaming with Mansoor, and T-Bar and Mace are a tag team, and everyone else has disappeared or something. I don't know.
Did you know, breaking news from my thesesheetsaredirty.org, the T in T-Bar stands for the.
So he's the bar?
He's the new the bar.
So, like, we don't raise the bar. We are
the bar. He is the bar.
Okay. That's cool. So the SmackDown Hacker has repeatedly proclaimed with zero evidence.
Sorry, I'm trying to hack your front door.
The SmackDown Hacker has repeatedly claimed with zero evidence that he was the true identity of the hacker on SmackDown, and he's offended that Mustafa Ali was given credit, and then he wanted to get a job as a security guard for who?
It was Kesha.
Kesha, you wanted to be Kesha. I wanted to say Carly Rae Jepsen, but I knew that wasn't right.
Oh man, one can only dream.
You wanted to be, and then you also wanted to be a WWE security guard, but you also wanted to be a wrestler, maybe. And then you about Applejacks, and you got Applejacks sponsorship.
You're conflating the story with lies, like most. What happened was, I wanted to be a security guard for WWE. They wouldn't hire me. I wanted to be security guard for Kesha. She wouldn't hire me. And then I'm like, all right, I'll be the spokesperson for Applejacks. That's how easy this game is. And then I got fired.
Now, just for the listeners, tell us about your security guard experience.
Oh, I'm just like, I look tough. I mean, like,
I mean, he doesn't. He just looks like a guy in a very cheap luchador mask.
This is not cheap.
Is like, I think in an attempt to look like he's in the Matrix, he is actually standing in front of a green screen that has Aurora Borealis projected onto it. It looks weird. But hey,
I can't let you know my secrets. I can't let you know where I am.
Okay. Anyway, so you're back now. You have your own dirt sheet, thesheetsaredirty.org.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you're here? Just to promote your website?
Yeah, I just want to let you guys know, thesheetsaredirty.com. What I do is .org. I go to wrestlers' Twitter accounts, and anytime they post anything,
oh boy,
I spin it. I spin that news because I know what's really happening, and I turn it into a news story. Also, I like to say I have sources backstage at every show because I really do. And they tell me things, and I write about it. Would you like to hear some things?
Can I hit you with certain wrestling happenings of late, and you could give me like the true backstage?
Oh yeah, yeah, because my sources are always in my ear.
Oh, okay. So obviously the biggest news in wrestling right now is that CM Punk made his AEW debut last Friday. Is there anything we should know about that maybe isn't known by the general public yet?
Oh boy, he signed a contract worth 10 figures. He's going to get 10 action figures made by AEW for of him.
When you say 10 figures, that sounds like $1 billion.
No, it's just 10. He's going to get 10 AEW figures.
How are they? Like, he's only had one AEW quote unquote look so far. Like, what are they going to be like?
But there's going to be like his like I'm back look. And then he's going to get his Wrestle Boy look. And then there's going to be a backstage look where he's got a fedora and like a big old jacket and looks like he's from the movie Snatch.
That's Sheamus from WWE. What are you talking about?
It's going to be a very similar look to that.
Okay.
There's also going to be a look where he loses all of his money and his shirt gets stained.
Baron Corbin, okay, you're up to 4. You only have 6 more. Go ahead.
There's another look where it's going to be him and Chris Jericho in a hot tub made of mimosas.
That is clearly the Mimosa Mayhem match between Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy. Go ahead.
Also him in a dinosaur luchador mask.
Okay, you are just that. That is a Luchasaurus action figure, which already exists.
Also him hanging out with Orange Cassidy in a library. The library playset for AEW.
What? So, like, he's the librarian Peter Avalon? I don't understand.
No. It's Peter Avalon and Leva Bates giving him and Orange Cassidy some good books to read.
Oh, God.
Oh, also corporate CM Punk.
What's corporate CM Punk? That's not a thing.
It's him in a suit. That's how you know he's corporate, because he has a three-piece suit on.
What color is the three-piece suit?
Gray.
Ooh, that's so corporate. Okay.
That's very corporate. Guess what color his tie is?
Ooh, is it also gray?
No, it is powder blue to show that he has personality.
Oh, you could say a cult of personality.
There's also another playset coming out where it's him and Colt Cabana backstage
amends. I don't think that's going to be a playset.
Making amends with each other.
I don't know, man. That's probably not great. Okay, so that's the scoop, everyone, on CM Punk's AEW debut. 10 action figures and playsets coming to an empty Walmart shelf near you
it's a 10 figure deal. Let's say it right.
Not a 10 action figure deal.
No, a 10 figure deal.
Okay. Good luck buying those action figures. I don't know if you've ever tried to buy an AEW action figure in a real store. It's impossible because they don't stock a lot of them and they're immediately gone. Plenty of AEW titles though.
Yeah, if you want to be like a tag title or a main title, like, you can get 40 of those.
Yeah.
Or the ring. The ring is always there.
I don't see the ring anymore. That's kind of nuts.
But that's the big scoop for CM Punk this week.
All right. Well, then let's look at the other big news of the week. Becky Lynch is back, SmackDown Hacker. What do you got for us?
Well,
And she's on SmackDown now. So, like, I would assume you would seriously have some inside dirt.
I mean, like, I don't hack SmackDown anymore. They've changed their security. They now have McAfee, so I can't bust through McAfee. I've tried.
You're not a good hacker. Go ahead.
So Becky Lynch is going to remain the champion for a little bit. And my sources are telling me that her next big opponent is none other than... Are you sitting down?
I mean, you're looking at me through a Zoom window. You can see that I'm sitting down.
Are your shoes tied on tight? Because if not, they're going to blast right off your feet.
I'm actually barefoot right now.
Okay. Is your underwear and shorts or pants tied tight also, because they might blast off your body?
Yes.
This news is going to be so devastating.
That sounds bad.
Well, like, I mean, it's going to blow your mind because of how awesome it is. She is going to fight for the title in a 5-month storyline. Mm-hmm. Natalya.
That's interesting because I think Natalya is injured at the moment.
I know. That's what makes it crazy. And like, you know how the Miz came down to the ring in a wheelchair with the drip drip stick?
Yeah.
They're going to do that with Natalya. She's going to come in a sling or however she is injured. I do not know. She will squirt Becky Lynch with the squirt gun.
Uh-huh.
And then they will get into...
Oh, wait. She's literally just going to copy what the Miz is doing exactly.
Not entirely. I mean, after the squirt, the super soaker thing, they are going to get into it backstage in catering. And it is going to be a wild food fight.
Oh, man. Now, I don't know if you could pass my thoughts along to WWE about this.
Yeah. Like,
through your sources.
Uh-huh.
They should just somewhere have Kevin Owens sitting underneath one of the tables during the food fight eating pie. Like they did that one time.
I don't think WWE likes to recycle things like that ever. So I don't think it's going to happen.
You're true. If WWE does anything, it is original programming that never repeats itself.
Later, there's going to be a contract signing for the Women's Championship belt.
Everything's going to go perfectly according to plan. They're going to respectfully sign the titles and then walk away as friends.
Three people are going to go through that table. I cannot say at this time
who those people are. Like simultaneously?
Yes.
Because
three people are powerbound at the same time through the table.
And you can't say who.
I can tell you who the people power bombing are, but not the power bombies.
Who are the people power bombing?
Number one, Becky Lynch.
Ooh, okay.
Number two, Natalia.
Okay.
Number three, Medusa.
Alundra
Blaze is coming back and power bombing people through tables at contract signings. P.S. That contract never gets signed. That's it.
Does the match ever happen?
It happens at the Royal Rumble next year.
Wow.
Kickoff show.
Kickoff show. That's, I feel like that is a step down for Becky Lynch to be on the kickoff show.
Yeah, it's very weird that she is not main eventing a giant pay-per-view, but at that time, the story has fizzled with the audience so much that it has just become a kickoff show match.
Well, like, I'm assuming Goldberg is in every other match, so.
It is Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar in a 60-minute Iron Man match.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Wow. Well,
would you like to know the final pin count for that one?
Is it 100 to 101?
No, believe it or not, it is 2-1.
2-1. Who wins? Or is that too spicy?
No one wins that one, I'll be honest with you.
So it's like Alien versus Predator.
No matter who wins, we lose.
That's right. Yep. Wow. Well, I mean, Hacker, you know what, Hacker? I like this new career trajectory you're taking.
These sheets are dirty.org. I have all of the sources that you need to know about.
I love it. I love it. Should people follow you on Twitter for some of your hot takes?
Oh, I am still on Twitter. I should probably use that for my new job. I think I'm just SmackDown Hacker, if I remember correctly.
At SmackDown Hacker on Twitter. The hottest, newest, most bestest dirt sheet of all time.
Yeah, I will be posting all of my my news there. This is news. Confirmed news.
Love it.
Adam Cole did not re-sign with WWE. However, he will not sign with AEW. He will sign with Baskin Robbins.
I love it so much. That makes sense. They have 31 flavors.
His job is to choose his favorite flavor, and frankly, he just can't. But he has a new YouTube show called Choose That Flavor with Adam Cole.
I'm assuming he just goes through all of them one by one by one.
Is one flavor this 31 seasons.
Oh, wow. Well, I was going to say, but also, like, Baskin Robbins is constantly changing out some of the 31s, like, almost every month. So, like, it's a never-ending well of content.
Potentially, this could run for 100 years.
A man can dream.
There's 10 episode seasons. Each episode, Adam really breaks down the flavor, how it's made, how people react to it. He even gets corporate Adam Cole and goes into Baskin Robbins corporate.
Does he put a suit on?
He has a gray suit on with a light blue tie to show that he has personality.
Oh.
And
not a cult of it, though.
Not a cult of personality by any means. But he goes into corporate to ask them about how do they come up with the wacky flavor names.
That's smart. That is smart. I love it. Wow.
Anyway, I'll be back in the future with more tips from wrestling and more some breaking news that you may not have heard of.
I love it. You know what? I feel like this is a new turn for us. I welcome you back to the show.
Thank you. It is great to be welcomed. I will continue to take over Matt's Zoom call and not let him talk ever.
I feel bad for Matt, but you know what? He missed out on amazing scoops, so that's his problem.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, thank you to SmackDown Hacker for coming on the show and for once again muting my mic. I got to hear everything. And
oh, you heard it.
I heard it this time. This is the first time I've got to hear it.
Can you believe CM Punk got a 10-figure deal with AEW?
10 figures.
Action figures, you know.
But yeah, but it's still a 10-figure deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Adam Cole is now official, like, confirmed Baskin Robbins superstar.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna have a great YouTube series. I cannot wait to watch it.
I wonder if it'll be on his channel or on Baskin Robbins' channel. That'll be
interesting. Oh, man.
Or maybe
it's going to be on his Twitch. It'll be on his Twitch.
Oh, the Chugs.
The Chugs.
Anyway, Matt, you know what time it is, right?
No.
Mailbag, baby.
We went to Twitter and said, hey, yell us questions. And you sent a couple. Did it.
dude.
That's the worst one.
Fantastic. It's just an incredible song. Today's question. You know what? We're gonna have two questions today. We're gonna pound right through these because they're kind of intertwined. Okay. First question comes from John Waite. He asks, best tag teams of all time. Go. Matt.
New Day.
I think I agree. Not including modern era, I would say I think Los Guerreros were a fantastic tag team. I love the Hart Foundation. I love the Rockers. The Legion of Doom were fantastic.
I would go Hardy Boys during the Attitude Era. Edge and Christian during the Attitude Era.
The Dudleys. There's so many amazing tag teams.
Hollywood Blondes. The only real tag team. Well, Harlem Heat, too. I got to give credit to Harlem
Heat. Love Harlem Heat. Love the Hollywood Blondes. Various incarnations of the Four Horsemen.
Who's the real Four Horsemen? That's always like my...
It's Rick. It's Arn. Is it Tully?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, like, I want to know... Maybe I would have to talk to Ric Flair someday, which would be impossible. I like out of all those incarnations... I don't think
that's impossible.
I just want to know who he thinks like the true Four Horsemen is. Is it the original team or is it like a mixture of a bunch or is it like just Dean Malenko by himself? I love me some Dean Malenko.
It would be great if he's like, Rick, in your mind, who are the true Four Horsemen? He's like Dean Malenko.
He got 1,000 holds.
Ooh, Dean Malenko.
So there, that's our tag team, our favorite tag, our best tag teams ever.
I'm not done. Okay. Man, there's just so... The Body Donnas. I'm kidding.
The vehicle for Sonny?
Yeah. No, there's so many truly awesome tag. Like the Public Enemy in ECW were really
good. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. The Public Enemy were really, really good.
You know what? The Rockers were the first tag team that got me into tag team wrestling. So I got to give it up to the Rockers.
Yeah. Sean and Marty were just fantastic.
Just like straight up baby face tag.
But the next question, which kind of plays into this, comes from GameSpot's own Christopher Pereira.
Hey, Crispy.
He says, is there any evidence the Bushwhackers ever whacked even a single bush?
Oh, man, there's zero evidence that the Bushwhackers have whacked a bush.
I'll say this. I also don't think they have, because if you remember, their signature hand movement was their arms go up and down.
Yes.
You can't whack a bush like that. You have to go side to side for that.
You need like a whole like arm and shoulder movement parallel to the ground to really whack something.
Yeah. Now, outside of wrestling, perhaps they own like a weed whacker and they do a little gardening around their home. We can't tell that. However, I'm guessing they did not get their name because of their prowess in whacking bushes, Chris.
Oh, but wait, Chris, on the line, I've got the Bushwhackers if you want to ask them.
Okay. Bushwhackers? Are you there?
Yeah, they said they're there. Hold on. I'm trying to patch them through. But just ask a question. We'll get them through.
Oh, okay. Did you ever whack even a single bush?
Yeah! And they're gone. That's it. That was the bit.
Wow. What a bit.
What a good bit.
Wow. What a definitely appearance by the actual real Bushwhackers.
That was the real Bushwhackers. Both of them.
Both of them. Through one person saying, yeah.
Well, that was both the Bushwhackers at the same time. Definitely
sounded exactly like Matt Elfring and not at all. No, it's like some of the
Bushwhackers. I don't do impressions on this show. Okay.
That's good. Good. I'm so sorry.
Ooh, yeah.
Macho Man's here? Whoa.
Dig it.
Cursing from Shraw.
No, it's something about a bunker.
Secret bunkers. Right. I've Area 51 is real, and I'm going to find it.
My mouth is too dry for that one. Sorry.
So thank you all for listening to this week's episode. Thank you, Chris and John, for your questions.
I thought we had another question.
That's it, bro. Thank you, Chris and John, for your questions. Thank you. Oh, wait. Oh my God. There are more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Will you ever talk about Max Moon? Yes.
Yes.
We will absolutely talk about Max Moon. I was literally thinking about pitching Max Moon for us to talk about today, but then we got sidetracked by...
You mean Conan. Current events.
No, I mean Max Moon.
No, Conan played Max Moon.
No, I know, but I...
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But we're not going to talk about Conan at all. We're just going to talk about Max Moon.
Yes.
And then D9000 asks, if the Wrestle Buddies could travel back in time and attend wrestling events throughout history, what would your top five be? That's a big ask. But
I'll give you my top. Immediately, I know my top.
What?
SummerSlam 2005, so I can watch Hulk versus HBK.
That's pretty good. I would like to be at WrestleMania 1. I would like to be at Bash at the Beach. Is it 96 where the NWO formed?
Mm-hmm.
Where Hogan turned heel? I'd love to be in the arena when Hogan turned heel.
Money in the Bank 2011, John Cena versus CM Punk for the title. Ooh,
would love to be there just for that entrance. Yes, would love to be there for Hogan versus Hogan versus Heartbreak Kid.
Ooh. What was the last WCW pay-per-view? Was it Greed?
Was it WCW Greed or Sin?
It might have been Sin. I'd like to be at that. I mean, I went to like the second or third last WCW pay-per-view, but I want to be at the last one.
I never got to go to it is Greed. It's WCW Greed. Matt, I'm going to run through this card real quick.
Please.
Jason Jett defeated Kiwi. Elix Skipper and Kid Romeo defeated the Filthy Animals, Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio Jr. Sean Stasiak with Stacy Keibler defeated Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, wow.
Team Canada, Lance Storm and Mike Awesome, defeated Hugh Morris and Conan, Max Moon. Shane Helms defeated Chavo Guerrero Jr. in a match for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. The Natural Born Thrillers, Chuck Palumbo and Sean O'Hare, defeated Totally Buffed, Buff Bagwell and Lex Luger, to retain the WCW tag team titles. Ernest the Cat Miller defeated Canyon. Booker T defeated...
Who's better than Canyon?
Nobody. Yeah. Booker T defeated Rick Steiner to win the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. Dustin Rhodes and Dusty Rhodes defeated the team of Ric Flair and Jeff Jarrett.
Wow.
And in the main event, Falls Count Anywhere match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner with Medaja,
yes,
defeated Diamond Dallas Page by, quote, technical submission per Wikipedia. If you're wondering what a technical submission is,
wouldn't it just be a submission?
Yeah. I don't really know, man.
I'd like to be, that sounds like a, it doesn't sound like a great card, but I would like to see it. I mean, in person, like knowing you're,
I just want to be there for like latter day WCW productions.
That's when I went to wrestling shows. I went to WCW was cheap and I could get like, not floor seats for $20, but like first level seats for $20. And my buddies, nice, and I would all go like, once every couple months, whenever they came to Chicago. And like, I just had a blast, man. I would always cheer for the heels and make all the little kids around me so mad. I had a blast at that.
That's awesome. Like,
there's a special place in my heart for latter day WCW because that's when I was most active in going to like wrestling events.
Mm. I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, we will be back next week.
Oh, can we preview what's coming up next week?
Yeah.
Next week, guys, after we've talked about it a number of times, I bought the McMahon DVD.
Yes.
I bought the McMahon DVD, and next week I'm going to present my book report to you of everything I learned about Vince McMahon from this really bad DVD.
I cannot wait.
Can't wait. It is a 3-disc set I have to sift through. 3 discs of Vince McMahon.
You don't have to sit through it. You get the pleasure of sifting through it.
No, I have to sift.
Oh, really? Sift. I thought you said sit.
No. I can't wait. I can't wait either.
And that'll bring us for the end of this week. Chris, do you have any final words?
Long live the SmackDown hacker.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.